the stuff that's preventing you from breaking through to that level, from connecting and making a huge impact on your audience. And it has nothing to do with your vocal technique.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome to the show. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Netherland, Colorado. Today's guest is also joining me from Colorado in Aspen. I have got Arden Kaywin in the house. Arden, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Yes, absolutely.
Super, super excited to have this woman on the show. I have had the pleasure of being connected to her, getting to work with her. She's been a mentor of mine over the last many months. And for those of you that don't know her work, she's an incredible singer, songwriter, vocal coach, really pioneering a holistic and transformative performance method and technique for all singers. And I know you've got this intensive program, which I've personally participated in, that's gotten to help professional singers all over the world really make a bigger impact with their voice to really have, you know, fulfilling, sustainable careers. And I know you've had quite a long, you know, repertoire, even in your own career, releasing 2 albums, doing several US tours. You've had songs featured on NBC, ABC, CBS, you know, ESPN, the Discovery Network, OWN. I mean, the list really goes on. And I know you've gotten to, you know, you wrote and got to perform the song Deliver Me, which aired 6 seasons on the OWN network, which was great. The theme song for that show, Deliver Me. And I know you've also gotten to work with Michael Kors and a lot of other campaigns. But one of the things that I love about you is just how you look at something like success, performance, technique, but particularly mindfulness and mindset, and looking at this holistic performance, you know, of how do you actually break through to the next level? And I think so many times we hit these points, whether it's in artistry or in music or something else, where we're like, I'm doing all the right things, you know, I'm following all the right practices, yet what is it that keeps me stuck in this perpetual plateau? Or I make incremental progress, but why am I not really having that sustainable success in the way that I want? And I think so much of your method that you've developed, which you apply in the realm of music, is so applicable in these other areas. So excited to get into a bigger conversation around that. Welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be able to talk about all this stuff. Did you leave anything out? I don't think so. Well, I mean, my background is actually as a classically trained singer. And so I was, you know, I did my undergrad at a fancy schmancy music conservatory. And then I did my master's degree at another fancy schmancy music conservatory, where everything was very serious and very, how do I put it? I just felt like there was very little room for experimentation or failure. And you know me, Jules, like a lot of the work that I do with singers is like helping you guys be willing to fail, because that's the only way. I mean, how many times did I say to you, can you just suck for a sec? Can you just be willing to make a bad sound? You know, and because that was not the world that I came from. And, you know, the classical music world, you know, I sang into my mid-20s until I was about 24, 25, solely in the classical world. I sang with Opera Theater St. Louis and young artist programs at, San Francisco Opera and Brooklyn Academy of Music. I sang in Italy. And like, when you're in that classical world and you've had that classical training, it is all about perfectionism. It is all about being perfect. And the crazy thing about that is that I really felt incredibly stifled and stuck. And it was like, no matter how good I was, and I was, you know, at that point in my career where I'm singing with, you know, starting to sing with major opera houses, you know, albeit in the young artist realm, which meant that I was, you know, understudying and doing the small roles. But I was watching, you know, the singers who were 10, 15, 20 years ahead of me doing the lead roles. And the conductors and directors were treating them the same way that they treated me, which was that nothing was ever good enough. I mean, I watched a conductor tack up a litany of what he would say would be requests, but what really looked like was a litany of everything that was wrong with this unbelievably famous singer's performance at a major opera house. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to, you know, it's not even useful at this point. But, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, like she's the best in the world at this. Like I'm doing the supporting role and I'm watching her do this role that she's made a name for herself doing. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, she's the best in the world at this. And she's still taking it up the ass from conductors. And it's like, pardon me, can I curse on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I already feel like it's never good enough. It's never, and like, where's my artistry in all of this? Where's my unique voice? Like, I felt like I was like a violin, you know, like with all of these competing voices in my head with what the conductor wants, what the director wants, 200 years of history, performance practice, language, technique, like, and it was like, where am I in all of this? And I'm watching how these singers who are much, you know, further ahead in their careers than me being treated the same way. And I have so much respect for those who've been able to make a career in the classical world amid all of that stuff by being able to sort of maintain their sense of artistry, because I couldn't. It was really hard for me. And so I left the classical world at about 25 on what was headed to be like a pretty, you know, a pretty cool career, because I was miserable and it was like never good enough. And so I switched gears and I went into the commercial music world. And you know, the interesting thing is, you may have heard this saying, that wherever you go, you take yourself with you.
Common denominator of our all experiences.
And, you know, I realized that like it wasn't, I was blaming it on the outside forces of that particular industry in the classical, you know, in the classical industry, in the classical world. And, you know, other people in other industries, even non-artistic, you know, whatever your industry may be, you know, we often want to kind of blame those outside forces for how we're walking through our journey. And I, you know, had the experience of, you know, having a decent career, getting to, you know, not have to have a day job and be able to make money doing music. You know, I mean, this was also 15, 20 years ago when you could make money selling records, which you can't really do now. So that's a whole other conversation. But also recognizing that I still felt the same way, and having had certain circumstances in my life when I turned 30, having to look at certain things in my life and going kind of on a deep dive into mindful practice and meditation, and then realizing what a huge effect it had on the way I was able to perform and what I was able to do with my voice, because it changed how I felt internally.
Yeah.
Made all the difference in the world. And I wish that I had known that at 19, 20, 25, 27 years old, like in the beginning parts of my career. Because who knows, maybe I wouldn't have left the classical world. I don't know. Or maybe I would have had a different trajectory in my recording career. I don't know. But that's what set me off on wanting to let other singers know that there's a whole nother way of training out there that alleviates the stuff that's preventing you from breaking through to that level, from connecting and making a huge impact on your audience. And it has nothing to do with your vocal technique. So that's sort of like the story of how I kind of came to do what I do.
Yeah. Which, you know, there's so much in that. And unconventional life, you're listening to this, I think, you know, I can see a lot of myself with my own version of it. And I'm sure, you know, those tuning in as well, of just this perpetual path, what could feel like of not enoughness, you know, of this pursuit of, like, you know, like you said, young aspiring singer, like even you're in these understudy roles and you're like, I see where this is going, the constant external, you know, pressure, feedback, just judgment. And then eventually to the point where it's like, is this even aligned? Is this even what I want? To making that pivot, to then ultimately realizing, cool, I changed the external circumstance, yet like I'm still the same. And I think, you know, I've seen that true for my life. And I think many tuning in as well, where, you know, we keep thinking it's like, you know, when I get there or someday if, or when this thing happens, then I'll have this client or I'll have this or I'll have that. And then the truth is that we get to that experience in some senses, in my own path, it's like more money, more problems, more clients, more problems, more this, more, you know, it's like the thing actually didn't change. If anything, it amplified. The gap got even bigger internally, even though externally it looked more satisfied. And I think that, you know, like you said, meditation and mindfulness really being the gateway. And I know that's been such a cornerstone of your work. And for those that are in their own life right now that maybe have been in this perpetual path of, I don't know if I call it full lack of fulfillment or just this like plateau of like this not enoughness, like how did you eventually pattern interrupt the process? And whether they might be a singer listening to this or not, just any, you know, feedback or even the technique you could share with some of the listeners that if they're in this perpetual, you know, process with their own internal dialogue, you know, what mm-hmm. they could do to pattern interrupt that to create a little bit more space.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to kind of relate it to singing and then kind of get, you know, zoom out, because the work that I do with singers, it's a larger metaphor for how many people tend to interact with their careers, their industries, and how they walk through their own journey and path with it. And so, you know, the way it manifests with singers is that singers mistake the symptoms for the problem. So what I mean by that is singer will come to me and tell me everything that's wrong. My records, you know, I put out records and they just languish. Like they don't get any kind of mainstream attention. I get a couple thousand spins and like, that's it. Or they'll say, you know, I get into the callbacks, but I never get the audition. Or I'm stuck in ensemble and I want the lead and I have a real good career. I've got equity points doing all kinds of ensemble, but I just can't get a principal role. So, you know, they come to me with all these symptoms, or they'll even say, you know, I experience tension or strain in my singing, or I'm inconsistent when it counts. My voice doesn't show up the way I know it can. And they think that that's the problem. They think that's the problem, but those are actually the symptoms. And the real problem is that they do not yet have the foundation, which when it comes to singers is technique. All, you know, every singer needs good technique, artistry, right? You need to be able to connect with your audience and all that, and mindset. And here's the thing, it's like a tripod upon which a successful singing career stands. And without those legs being equally as strong, you know, what happens to a tripod with a wobbly leg? It falls down. And so most singers, they're hardcore work in the technique. They might be paying attention to artistry, but none of them are paying attention to the mindset. And the thing is that the mindset, the mind is the thing that can and will sabotage all the rest of it, if not addressed. And I think this is the same for any industry you're in, any career path you are on. You know, I could give a singer the best technique in the world. And I mean, you know me, Jules, like I work you guys hardcore in technique, but it's not gonna matter. Like all that great technique I'm giving you, it's not gonna matter if the mind is sabotaging the body from being able to do it. And it's the same thing in any other career path or journey that you are on, whether it is something artistic, whether it is something in your business, right? Like, you know, let's say that you invent some really awesome, cool widget and it's like this amazing, you know, life-changing or industry-changing thing, right? And you've only been charging, let's say, $10 for it. And you know that it's worth $100. But if your worth in that moment, your of sales, right? If your worth is not aligned, if you are not congruent, it doesn't matter what somebody is willing to pay for your widget if your mind is sabotaging you from believing that it really is worth $100. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's like the best analogy, maybe, but like, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly it. And I, you know, you always have this thing, it's like, you know, you change your thinking, you change your singing. It's applicable, I think, everywhere. And I know when, you know, I, so how Art and I got connected did was like, I gotta love the internet, right? And even unconventional lifers, I know how some of you find this podcast. You're like doing one thing online, the next thing you know, you're somewhere else. The next thing I knew, I was like getting on a call with her and I was like, who is this woman? And, you know, ended up being blown away by the way that you relate to it. Cause you really look at it, you know, as endurance training. You know, you have this quote, it's like singers are just like any other high performance athlete. Our body cannot do what our brain is sabotaging. I mean, insert whatever that is into your relevant, you know, conversation listeners, but it's true. Our body cannot do what our brain is sabotaging. And sometimes it's so easy to accept or to tolerate the baseline of what you're used to, just because that's what you get used to. Mm-hmm. And even in my own singing, you know, it was like such work. And I know I see so many people too that are like, I want to sing, but I'm afraid to sing. Or like, they're like a closet singer. And it's like, maybe you sing in the shower or whatever it is, but you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be good enough or if I have the technique for it. Or like, it's this whole thing. Yet there's this passion, this well that's like brewing in there. And for me, I spent years in the business world kind of letting that be on a low simmer until finally I was like, if I don't acknowledge this screaming baby inside of me, nothing I do will actually feel whole until I bring this into my work and bring this into my expression. And I think some of you listening right now are teetering in that reality as well, where there is this artistic thing inside of you that is alive and it's wanting to have a place and it's wanting to be shared. And so I know you also work a lot, you know, with a variety of different talent, but also in integrating the different parts of ourselves. And I'd love if you maybe could just speak to that for a second and what you kind of see in some of the work that you're doing, but particularly in that integration of
Yeah. So, you know, I firmly believe that how you do one thing is how you do everything. And our voices are, can be such a mirror into ourselves if we let it. And there are so many singers that I've worked with. You know, I work with a lot of professional singers, and I also work with a lot of singers who are what I would call multi-passionate, who are multi-passionate people, who singing and their artistic career is equally as important to them as whatever they might call their quote normie job, you know? And so many of them have had the experience of going through this work, which is a deep dive into understanding our blocks. And the blocks most often have nothing to do with singing, but they are 100% affecting the singer's ability to be free with their voice, find the most power, yet effortless at the same time, where it feels aligned and it makes the biggest impact. And those things that have nothing to do with singing, but are the things that are blocking the singer from being able to access the full potential of their sound, be able to fully utilize the technique that they understand intellectually, but that up to this point, the body has been kind of blocked from fully doing. Those blocks, when we bust through them in the singing, also the singer tends to realize how these blocks have actually been affecting them in like all the other parts of their life as well. And so being able to facilitate this kind of transformation for them in their singing also has the effect of allowing them to move forward much more powerfully in all these other aspects of their lives. And the thing that I also know, just from working with so many of them, of you guys over the years, is that like what Jules, what you were just saying about, like, I know that I have this dream upon my heart. And what I call, what I, in my sort of verbiage, I call the soul piece. Like singing and music, that's the soul piece for you. And you have this wonderful podcast and you have this wonderful business and you do your events and that you love it. And that's all wonderful and successful. But like you were saying, there's this piece of me that I know that if I don't follow this and allow this to come forth in the most sort of aligned and free way to see what I could do with this potential, that I'm always going to be wondering, what if? I'm always going to be in that regret, in that, you know, I mean, you can speak to that. I know, because that was something that was weighing on you. But what we're doing in bringing forth the voice and the awareness is allowing the singer, whether you are professional or whether you are somebody who's like a super passionate, what I'm going to call sort of like lifelong learner in this, right? You may not have professional aspirations for it, but you know that this is something that you've always been called to do and you've just never been able to do it at the level that you want. And you don't want to start to suffer the consequences from that tend to present when we're not living a life that is true to what we really want. And so I think that's what you were talking about, Jules, about the idea of alignment. Yeah. You know, if you are a professional and you know that singing is what you are put on this planet to do, it is, you know, it is the gift that God gave you, and you know that it is why God put you on this planet. And yet you are stuck in your side job. You are not living the life from your gifts that you know you could be. It's very frustrating and it's very painful. And it starts to affect other aspects of your life because you are not living as the highest and best version of yourself. And that affects everything else. It affects health because we hold in patterns in that tend to kind of get stuck in the body energetically. And so we can get into, you know, all kinds of things, autoimmune, we can get into issues of gut stuff, you know, so there's that stuff, but there's also when we're not living as the highest and best version of ourselves, when we know that we were put on this planet to do something that we are not doing, and we can't figure out how to get from where we are to where we want to go, that frustration, right, tends to take us into coping mechanisms that also affect our health, that affect our relationships, that affect if we have kids, that affect, you know, like I'm a mom, like I see this all the time, like what am I modeling for my daughter? Like I can tell her until I'm blue in the face, you know, to go, you know, put your mind to something. And if you can do it, you can dream it. You can put your mind to it. You know what I'm saying? You can do anything that you dream. Like I could tell her that till I'm blue in the face. But if I'm not modeling that, if I'm not walking that talk, right? Because children, you know, my daughter doesn't listen to anything I say, but she watches what I do, you know? And so it's, you know, when we're not in that alignment, when we are not living that purpose, that dream, that gift that we were given, we go into coping mechanisms because we don't feel like the highest and best version of ourselves. We feel like we are letting ourselves down. Maybe we feel like a fraud. Maybe we feel out of integrity. Like here I am, I spent all this time and energy and money, let's say, on, you know, making records and trying to tour and put myself out there. And like, now I got nothing to show for it. Like all of that stuff really drags up the not good enough stuff, the less than stuff. And when we feel that, again, we go into the coping mechanisms. You might be going to food. It might be going to, you know, just like online shopping. I don't know. It might be going to alcohol or drugs for some people. It could just be isolating, you know. But if what you want for your life is to be healthy, is to be in a wonderful relationship, you know, all those things are affected by this feeling of being out of integrity with what you're really doing with this talent that you've been given, or this call, this artistic call that you have on your heart. And so the work that I do with singers, yes, it will make you sound better. Yes, you will be able to sing higher than you could. Yes, your breath support will be better, because what we're doing is we're addressing the thinking behind the singing, meaning the things that are preventing you from being able to actually use your body, use your instrument, use the technique that you know, because you're in all of your self-protective mechanisms, which show up in your body, because your body is your instrument. And, you know, part of being human is physicalizing your emotions, your thoughts, and your fears, you know, which is fine if you're at your data processing job, you know, on your computer all day long. But as an artist or as somebody who uses their body as their instrument, it really prevents you from moving forward and making an impact, because all those blocks show up physically and prevent you from making the sound that you want. But in busting those blocks, not only do you get the sound that you want, but then you're empowered to move forward much more powerfully on this journey with not just your voice, but with anything else you're doing. Because again, how you do one thing is how you do anything. So those blocks that were affecting your singing, they're affecting everything. And so you have just, in the context of singing, you have busted them. But now you have also busted them, and the same mindset tools that you have used to do that, you now have access to move forward powerfully in anything else that you're doing in your life. So that was my very long-winded way of explaining.
Totally. Well, I think like it's such a testament to really the methodology behind your work. And, in the months that we've worked together, I have made more progress on my plateaus in the last many months than I have in the last like many, many years. Like if I had like found this like methodology, like I said earlier, my career probably was a moment when you were like in your 30s, you're like, man, if I had just found this when I started, like what would have become possible? But the amount of like lack of permission I have given myself, or just like, oh, I just won't have a higher range, or oh, like, you know, and from the outside, it was so like, wow, she sounds good, or she's making progress. But from the inside, that gap was so there. And there's really, and it's part of why I wanted just to have you on the show today, you know, to really share with the listeners, but it's like what you're doing, not only does it work, I think it's really innovative in a whole new way to approach sound. And I was even, you know, in Mexico, in Tulum last week, and I was in this jam circle, and this, you know, friend of mine was like, Jules, like you have this ability, like, how do you like sing so well? And I was like, well, I was thinking about you, Art. And I was like, the first rule is like, stop trying to sing and like start just focusing on like actually what it is to make sound. And we all have the ability to create sound. And then there's this judgment of like, oh, like, does it sound good? Or like, is it the right sound? Or blah, blah, blah. And I find when you come back just to the ability to phonate, or in some ways to not actually try to sing, but allowing, you know, just your instrument, your body to actually resonate, like we all have that ability in us. And for me, it's been such a process of getting to unlock and give myself more permission to actually rediscover and newly discover, you know, the depths of it. And it's shown up tenfold in so many areas of my life. And so I'm such a fan for what you're doing. And I'd love for you to share a little bit, you know, about some of the work that you have. Like, you know, I know you've got the intensive, you run this huge academy, you've got all these incredible free videos, vocal training stuff. But if you've been listening to this and you're also like, man, like I want to sing, or I know so many times I encounter friends, they're like, what's her number? Like, how do I, like, I want more than a vocal coach. Like, what are some of the ways that, you know, people can, yeah, just to start this conversation and to really play with it? Because I know you have so many resources, both free, but also, you know, bigger inquiry, you know, right, school and education as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, the free resources are just a lot of little technique tips, which you can find on my YouTube channel. So you can go to YouTube and search Arden Kaywin Vocal Studio. And there's lots of, you know, little free technique tips. And also on my website, which is also ardenkaywinvocalstudio.com, I have something called the Video Vault, which it's like the cheapest subscription ever. It's like $9 for the year. And all of the videos are organized into categories, you know, breath support, resonance, but they're tips, right? This is not a substitute for one-on-one vocal training. Cause you know, the problem with the I'm gonna go on YouTube and learn to sing model is that you have nobody like watching you and checking in with you to make sure that you're actually implementing and embodying correctly what you're watching. So you have intellectual understanding of what the video is saying, but you have no idea whether you're actually doing it right. So, you know, this is for, you know, people who, you know, are just kind of dabbling and want some ideas, and, you know, that's cool. The work that Jules has been doing that is the main part of the work I do. So I don't teach traditional one-on-one weekly lessons anymore. I used to, I did it for many years, and it doesn't work. And that's why I don't do it anymore, because it only addresses half the problem. Okay. So if you can think about your singing as a rocket ship. Okay. And so the old way of training, the traditional way of training, which is like a regular weekly lesson, what it does is it's like tricking this rocket out with like all kinds of cool technology, you know, it's like all kinds of cool tricked out technology in this rocket. So now you got all these singers who have been in years and years and years of voice lessons, weekly voice lessons, and they got all this tricked out technology, but yet their career is not going anywhere. They're not able to break through in their career. They're not, you know, they're not able to quit that side job. They're not able to do it sustainably. And yet they've been in voice lessons every week for years of their life. And the reason why is because this rocket, it's got all this kick-ass technology in it, but no fuel. And a rocket without any fuel is not going to launch. And so I don't teach that way anymore because, like I said before, the three parts of this foundation, technique is only one part. And traditional lessons, that's all they teach. That's all they teach. And they teach you basically from the neck down, which means that they are leaving out the one part of the instrument, because your body, your whole body is your instrument as a singer. They're leaving out, traditional lessons leaves out the one part of the body that can and will sabotage the rest, and that's your mind. And the work that we do, I started to realize in my own singing and my own practice of mindfulness and everything, I would start to kind of bring this in when I was just teaching traditionally. And I remember like thinking to myself, like, God, if they could only just do X, Y, and Z, like in between the lessons, if they could get acquainted with, you know, certain ideas and certain awarenesses and experiences in between the lessons, then the work that we do on the technique is going to be like so much more efficient. And so that's why at this point, I'm only working with singers in my intensive program, because it is this well-rounded way of training. And it's become my mission to change the way singers are trained, because I don't think that the way singers are traditionally trained in this country works, because I'm a product of that system. I know that system, and I believe it ultimately failed me in the sense that I was given a lot of, you know, a lot of kick-ass technology and no fuel.
Yeah.
And I, you know, went on like a 10-year journey through my 30s, of understanding mindset, of understanding my, you know, the things that were getting in my way. And it was like a 10 plus year journey of all of that. And I don't, and it was a difficult process for me, not having any guide, to be able to integrate that like all on my own into my singing. It was a process of trial and error. And so the reason that I designed this intensive is so that you guys don't have to go on that 10-year, you know, journey of frustration, because I've done it for you. I've been there. I've done it. I connected all the dots. I put it all together. So the way that we work in the 2-month intensive is it's a deep dive, and it's not for everyone. It's not for singers who kind of just want to sing better so that they can like sing at their cousin's wedding. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a process that takes commitment and accountability and resourcefulness. Yeah. And, you know, and you don't have to be a professional singer to do it. But what I have found is that the singers who are called to do this kinds of work are either professional singers or singers who feel like I was saying before, this is the soul piece. Like this is the piece that they know they're being called to do this. And until they do it, they understand that every other aspect of their life is going to feel, what's the word I'm looking for? Like diminished, you know, because those are the ones who are willing to do the deep dive, to be accountable, to be committed to the process. And it's okay that it's not for everyone. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you are at a different place with your singing, that's cool. Like, you know, go find a teacher who can work with you at that level, and that's okay. But for singers who feel like they know there's another layer in there, they know that they have this potential and they are not reaching it, and they've tried other teachers, they have lots of training, they've been putting themselves out there, and it's just not working at the level that they want, this is the process that gets you there, because it brings in the thing that nobody else is teaching. And so to circle back, this is why I don't teach in traditional one-on-one weekly lessons anymore, because I don't think it serves, because it only addresses half the problem.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, as a byproduct of both of those things, I, you know, definitely have seen the results of it. And I think it's just, you know, to zoom out from this conversation as well, and Unconventional Lifers, we'll put the links for all the stuff, the free training, you know, that she's got, her vault, also the info about the 2-month intensive up on the website at unconventionallifeshow.com. But it's just like innovating, you know, an archaic industry. And I think, you know, music and the way that we learn, you know, in this capacity has been ripe for it. And so I so love that you are not only doing that, but just as a byproduct of also the success of it, I have like friends that are like, whoa, like what is happening to your voice right now? In like these, like, you know, in Mexico, I was even, and it was just like, it is literally a byproduct of like releasing that which was in the way and the combination of this. And so I just love the stand that you are in the world that you're taking of it. And just, you know, Unconventional Life is highly recommend checking her out, both, you know, if you're interested in it, but also just as a model, just to see, you know, I think we all learn different models from each other of how to invent and reinvent things that, you know, we feel like, how are we still doing this way? How is there not a more effective way? And we get to be the solution to that exact thing. So Arden, thank you so much for that. And I'd love to know, like, for our listeners that want to, you know, stay in touch, you know, obviously we'll throw the links on the website. I know you're like big on social media. You've got all kinds of videos, webinars, and things like that. What's the best place for our listeners to go ahead and do all that?
Well, so I have a private Facebook group that anybody can join. And it's on Facebook. It's called the Pro Singer Success Collective. So that's a great way to connect through my website, which is ardencaywinvocalstudio.com, but more specifically, the page on the website that talks about the intensive, which I'll give to Jules. And I will also put a link for you guys to register for a free masterclass, which talks about the five shifts that this kind of work addresses. So if you're listening to this and you are a singer, and you do have that call on your heart, but you're not really sure if this work is for you because it's not traditional, it's not what you've, you know, known or heard about before, I will give Jules the link to the free masterclass. It's about a 45-minute class where I talk a lot about the shifts that happen from this work and what this work is all about. And so you can see if it's right for you. And the other thing, if I can just mention, because you were just talking about how, you know, being kind of a disruptor and trying, you know, looking at an industry and doing it differently, I will say that all of my other compatriots who teach the old-fashioned way, what I call the old-fashioned way, were in a massive head spin through this whole year of COVID because they teach in person and they teach weekly. And this way of working, I work with singers all over the world. It has always been virtual. So COVID happens and I still get to do my business. You know, I still get to help singers change their lives because I decided a long time ago that I wasn't happy with how, you know, the current training was working. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to compete with them. I'm going to do it differently and I'm going to do it over here. And if you want it, you can come over here, you know, and I get a lot of inquiries like, you know, well, does it work? Like if I'm not in the studio with you, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, you can speak to that, Jules, you know, but so I would just say, you know, totally. don't be afraid. Yeah, definitely. Work. But to just in whatever industry you're in, you know, like, don't be afraid to do things differently.
Yeah, so good. Well, Arden, that leads up to my last question for you of the show, which is just in a few words, you know, when you think about the unconventional life, what does it mean living the unconventional life to you?
Well, it's super interesting because, so I was based in Los Angeles for 18 years. And when COVID happened, I had, you know, been for a long time wondering what it would be like to be able to be in a place where I could work and feel like I'm on vacation at the same time. And I don't know if you caught that, Jules, at the beginning of the show mentioned that I live in Aspen. And that's been a recent development over the summer. And I think for a lot of us, COVID kind of distilled a lot of things for us in terms of what's important, what we want. You know, it really brought to the forefront that, you know, we are not guaranteed a tomorrow in any way, shape, or form. And so, you know, having this business and being able to just change singers' lives from anywhere in the world and be able to do it virtually allowed me to make this move. So I live in Aspen. And I get to work with amazing singers, watch their transformations daily, and then go ski. And so for me, that's very unconventional in the sense that I came from a family of, you know, very professional type people, like very square, you know, like work during the week, you know, play a little, maybe golf on the weekend, but, you know, live in the suburbs and, you know, very, very conventional. And so I think for me, making this move here was me actually claiming the fact that I don't need to play by anybody else's rules. I can work with singers from all over the world, and I can do it from this gorgeous mountain town where I get to look out my window every day and see these gorgeous view with peaks and mountains and be able to ski whenever I want. And be able to, you know, allow my daughter to have this wonderful mountain life where in Los Angeles, she was stuck inside all day. But even before COVID, like it's, you know, the smog and the, you know, the safety issues. So, to me, living an unconventional life means being able to write my own rules, to write my own rules about the industry that I'm in and say, you know what, I don't think that we've been trained the best way. And I'm going to try to change that. And, you know, be willing to stick my neck out and be okay if people disagree with me. It's okay. And then you're not my people. That's fine. There are plenty of other, you know, there are plenty of other voice teachers out there that if you want to go and do the conventional thing, that's awesome. And best of luck. Like this, like I said, this is not for everyone. But I think if we get scared about what other people think, then we just stay in analysis paralysis and we never do anything. And so just being willing to say that, you know, I am a disruptor in that sense, and I'm okay with it. And then I get to move on my way and continue to change singers' lives in the way that I'm doing it. And if other people don't want it, that's cool too.
So well said, Arden. So many things that we could keep riffing on, but yes, it is okay to be a disruptor, and we really do get to write our own story. And so I love you being a stand for that, Unconventional Lifers. Highly recommend checking her out. We'll throw all of those links at unconventionallifeshow.com, and it's Arden, A-R-D-E-N, K-O-N, K-A-Y-W-I-N. Check all of that out there. Thank you so much for being on the show today, for being like such a force in my life. Literally, when I found this work, I was like, finally, there's another way, and it actually works, and it resonates with me. And so you've made such a impact on my own vocal stuff, but also, you know, for so many others. So I just, love the stand that you are in the world. It was so great having you on the show.
Thank you so much. And if I can say just about you for a second, that, you know, you are exactly the kind of singer who thrives in this work because you are heart-centered, you are committed, you are passionate, you are accountable, and you're open to trying something new. And that is why you've gotten the results that you've gotten, because you are just putting one foot in front of the other, and you're willing to fail. And like, that's what we started with this conversation about in the first place.
Totally. Being willing to fail is all of it, and fail fast and right. Then try it again and again. And
exactly.
Awesome. So, well, thank you for that reflection, and so good. I know, I'm sure we'll have you back as a part two. There's like so much more juiciness to uncover, but Unconventional Lifers, stay tuned, go check this woman out, and we'll have more coming at you guys shortly. Thanks so much, Arden.